Now, with mobile communications playing an increasingly major part in our lives, many people are quite worried, quite justifiably, about the potential health impacts of this technology. And for this reason, a large study, it's called COSMOS, has been set up to track the ongoing health of 250,000 mobile phone users over a 30-year period. The leader of the study is Professor Paul Elliott. He's from Imperial College in London, and he's with us. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Chris.
Now, every good study has got to have a fantastic acronym to represent it, COSMOS being no exception. What does it stand for?
So it's a cohort study on mobile phones and health. And the key there is that the cohort means it's, as you say, a prospective study over many years following the health of people and in relation to their mobile phone usage.
It sounds fairly trivial, but I'm sure it's not, to recruit a huge number of people and then try to get data from them. So how have you gone about this? Who are the study subjects and how are you following them?
So we identified people through mobile phone companies who sent out a large number of letters to subscribers. And the idea was to get people at different levels of usage, low, medium, high, so that we can get a broad range of use. So all these letters went out to subscribers in the UK, and then we invited people who received those letters to log into our website and answer a questionnaire and give consent to take part in the study.
How often are you following the people up?
They give consent to us getting copies of their usage of mobile phones through the operators every year. So we get 3 months' usage every year. And then the idea is to go back to them also on regular intervals with questionnaires, and regular being over a four-year period. So we plan to go back to them with a questionnaire.
What about keeping in touch with them? Because one problem that big longitudinal studies like yours often face is people who get lost to follow-up for various reasons. So how are you going to make sure you keep people in the loop?
Clearly, you know, working on mobile phones is good because, you know, we can track their phones through either directly through the participant or through the mobile phone operators. But the participants give consent also for us to track their health through routine registries such as cancer registry and also the mortality register, hospital admission registers. So we can actually track people. We can track their health even if we can't find the people themselves.
It's quite neat that you can get access to how often they spend on the phone, which enables you to establish the dose that they're getting, because obviously when one is looking for causation, whether something is actually linked to something causally, there's got to be a dose-dependent relationship there, hasn't there? The more you use something, the more of an outcome we should see.
Exactly. The key is to get exposure variation, as you say, which, you know, the proxy will be how often people use the phone. And by stratifying the cohort at outset into low, medium and high users, we've actually got a very good distribution at baseline on usage. And then we need to follow up through the continual looking at the mobile phone records, how much people are actually using. And then, as you say, one's looking for a dose effect in terms of potential health outcomes.
Now, one possible confounder here could be that not everyone uses their phone with it glued to their head. Some people use their phone with it on the table in front of them and they're watching some text coming up or Twitter feed and things like that. Can you discriminate between active calls where someone is dosing their brain with radiation at very close measures and more distant operation like that?
Yes, we can differentiate between data use and SMS and active phone use. But of course, some people, even with active phone use, will use a hands-free device, which will reduce the exposure to the head. So we do ask about use of hands-free devices as well.
What about kiddies, though? Because one thing I've heard people will say a lot is obviously as children are growing up, their bones are less dense, therefore their skull is less dense, therefore the attenuation of any microwaves coming out of the phone going into the brain will be lower in a child, so their relative dose to potentially sensitive tissue inside could be higher. Have you got them represented in your cohort too?
No, our study is a study of adults, but you raise an important question that clearly children are exposed, and as you said earlier in your programme, there are, you know, more from what you said, children have more phones than they have books. So this is clearly an issue, and it is a question for active research in terms of does use in children affect, for example, their concentration, their sleep. And this is something that, for example, the WHO has called for research on, because children are under-researched currently.
So, OK, it sounds like the study has been well put together and you're going to follow these people up and we're going to see if there are any health outcomes. What do we already know about the risks, though? And is there any preliminary data to suggest that there might be an effect? In other words, what do you think might come up if there is an effect? What are you expecting to see?
OK, so there have been a number of so-called case control studies, which is a different design where you go to cases of disease, and particularly people have looked at different forms of brain cancer, and then a set of control participants who don't have the disease and ask about their use of mobile phone going backwards. So this is based on subjective reporting. Those studies have actually been reassuring with regard to use up to about 10 years of usage. So that's good news. But what we don't know is about much longer term use, and that's where the COSMOS study will be very important, because we'll be able to follow people up over many years and many years of usage.
Indeed, it takes 50, 60 years of dedicated subscription to cigarettes and a smoking habit to get lung cancer. So it may be that just looking in the near term, which many of these studies have, is just too short for us to see enough dose to see a small or marginal increase in, say, brain cancer rates, if there is a risk of that.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. I agree.
So where do you see this actually playing out to now? Are you going to stick with this cohort, or are you going to then build in additional secondary people who will come along behind this initial group in order to address some of the other questions that you've raised with us today?
So the cohort is a multinational study. So the UK is one component, and we have colleagues also working with us in various other countries, Denmark, Sweden, Finland and the Netherlands. The idea, as you say, is to get to a cohort of around 250,000 people. The study is open to other countries to take part as long as they can follow the protocol. And I think clearly the larger the study, the more power it will have to detect what might be quite small effects, if there is indeed any effect of long-term mobile phone use on health.
Paul, thank you very much. That's Paul Elliott from Imperial College in London.